Now you have to maintain all the records very, very scrupulously and thoroughly, because there are requirement of these records in courts, in case of medical legal cases, in cases of disasters, in cases of epidemics, compensation of injured patient. You need to have the right kind of records where in detail all the injuries, where it is located, how bad it is, how much blood is lost, is there any punctured wound, is there any CLW, is there any bullets inside. So compensation will be required to be given to such kind of injured patients. So you need to have a thorough and proper documentation of everything. In cases of insurance cases, again you need to have the records. In the event of complaint, you will have to show that whatever best can be done has been done for the patient and there is no medical negligence, and also for medical audit you need all the detailed records of the patients. Records to be maintained in casualty, you can have case registers about all the patients that come to casualty. You should have a register separate for medical legal cases. You should have police intimation register at what time the case come to you and when you have intimated the police, when the police has come to you. Call book should be there for asking services for different specialty doctors, so that based on the need of the patient's requirement, you can call the surgical registrar, orthopedic registrar, eye specialist, ENT specialist, anesthetist, etc. And finally, you will have to evaluate all the services that you are providing. Monitoring and control is very, very essential for all kinds of services in hospital. So you are going to collect and analyze and classify these data in a proper way to learn out of that for various purposes. Number of visits of patients for a casualty. What are the average length of visits, how long the patient was here? What are the variations of peak and lean period? In peak period, how many patients are visiting your casualty, and in lean period, how many are visiting? Seasonal trend of attendance also you should know, so that accordingly you can enhance your services in particular seasons when you need more staff. Medical audit will help us in overall auditing of all the services, but more so in case of casualty. You should have completeness, that means all the records should be absolutely complete, it should be systematically recorded, it should be adequate, as well as they should be accurate records to prevent the medical legal cases or any negligence cases in future to be tackled properly and save the doctors, paramedical staff and hospital against the malpractice suits also. The correctness and substantiation of the final diagnosis. Whatever diagnosis you are making for the patient, it should be absolutely correct and it should be substantiated by the lab records, radiology records, and even the histopathological records, and even if the patient dies, even post-mortem records. Errors in diagnosis and management cases, you should know where the errors have occurred and how best to correct it for future patients. You should have the records for all the cases where some of the other complications have occurred in the form of some injury, some safety problems, some hospital acquired infections or some medical negligence that has occurred by operating on the wrong lead and things like that, on the wrong eye. So cases of death, how many patients have died in your casualty or in wards, on OT table, etc. Quality of record maintenance, whatever records are maintained, what is the quality of them? Are they legible? Are they clear, concise? Is there any controversy in the records? Is there any cancellation of the records without signature? Is there anything which is not recorded, which has been recorded afterwards, which is indicated by a different kind of ink or things like that. So, quality of record maintenance, investigations which should be avoided, whether unnecessarily investigations are done or over investigations are done or under investigations are done also, you should know. Where it is indicated, is it done or not? Suppose you have not done certain investigations when it was indicated also. Suppose a patient comes to you with head injury and projectile vomiting, unconscious patient is there. If you don't do CT scan of brain, how you can diagnose subdural hematoma or intracranial hemorrhage? So, if it was not done, you are responsible for it and medical, it is considered to be medical negligence. And in case it is not done, what is the reason for not doing? Suppose your CT scan machine is not working for, and somebody is already trying to correct it, already the engineers are there with you, and probably they have told you that in 15 minutes it will be over and you will be able to take that, then it's a different thing. And if you feel that the critical condition of the patient can be easily managed at that time. What are the various policies, procedures, how many ambulances you are having, how well equipped they are, how well maintained they are, whether you are having the right kind of staff in the ambulance to take care of the patient during transport, what are the record maintenance, oxygen level, this, that, what are the referral policies in case the patient may be transferred from one place to another, what are the medical legal cases that you are having and how best you have kept the records and what is your disaster preparedness with all the mock drill records, etc. And grievance redressal systems for the patients as well as for the attendants, visitors, etc. Is it available or not? Because now medical profession is also under Consumer Protection Act, so you have to be very, very careful. Let's understand disaster preparedness after understanding the casualty services, because casualty and disaster management are very much closely interrelated. These are various kinds of identified disasters all over the world we have seen. One is floods and drainage management. We have seen tsunamis and hurricane, and in Uttarakhand also recently we have seen the floods were there and there was a problem of the drainage. So, how to manage this, that's one major disaster we have to take care of. The other one is earthquakes. Of course, earthquakes are very common, more common in Japan, in India it is more common at Jammu, Kashmir, etc. Dam failures and dam bursts. Biological disasters in the form of biowarfares. And there are epidemics. What's an epidemic? It's nothing but the number of patients suffering from a particular disease, which is much more than on an average normally we see such cases, and it is difficult for the local authorities to manage it easily. So, there are various kinds of epidemics we have seen over the period of years in our history. Plague was one important epidemic we have seen. Then we have seen epidemics of SARS, influenza, which was prevalent around 7 to 8 years back. We have seen epidemics of malaria in some areas, epidemics of food poisoning, industrial poisoning, etc. also we have seen. Then cattle epidemics we have seen, where the cattles were major number of cattles in that area have been adversely affected by consuming some food or some disease, etc. Nuclear disasters we have seen, the classical example being Chernobyl disaster. Fires we have seen in forests, in urban areas, in rural areas. Serial bomb blasts also we have seen in Bombay few years back and other places also in the world. Then there are major air disasters, air accidents, road accidents, and even rail accidents. Every year in India, we are seeing at least 8 to 10 rail accidents many times, and of course, food poisoning. So, these are the various disasters which are normally seen. Well, what's a disaster? Basically, it is a mass number of people or the cattle affected or the animals who are affected by a particular problem, where it is difficult for the local authorities to take care of that by the resources they have got, and it leads to a major problem. It can lead to the property loss, it can lead to the human loss in the form of deaths, etc. So, it's a kind of situation which occurs, and we have seen all over the world many such disasters over the period of years, and one has to prepare for these kinds of disasters. Now, what are the health objectives? Since we are more concerned with taking care of the health of people, because we are discussing about the hospital as a healthcare system, hospital management that we are learning now. So, we should understand what are the basic objectives of how to take care of health of people in such kinds of disasters which we have enlisted so far. First and foremost will be to prevent the morbidity, that's sickness, or the health aspect of the patient, and mortality, that is death of the person involved in such a disaster. Now, morbidity will be in the form of either due to some major accident leading to the vital organs being involved in that, and then leading to complications, at times amputations, the person not able to function well, not able to earn his livelihood. It can be due to building collapse, it can be due to earthquake, it can be due to floods. And of course, mortality, that means the death of a person who is involved in such a disaster. So, our health objective will be basically to prevent this kind of morbidities and mortalities who are involved in such disasters. Then, whoever casualty comes to us involved in such disasters, it's our duty to take care of this casualties by giving early diagnosis and prompt treatment of these patients, then by limiting their disabilities and by providing them rehabilitation in the form of physiotherapy, occupational therapy, etc., improving their functional capabilities to earn their livelihood and to do their day-to-day activities easily. Manage the adverse climatic and environmental conditions which can occur in such disasters. For example, we have seen in Bhopal gas disaster where the release of methyl isocyanate gas in the community around Union Carbide Company, where huge number of people were involved in that. So, it's our duty to manage these kinds of environmental conditions which are leading to increased morbidity and mortality of the community patients around, and of course the employees of that company as well. To ensure that whatever adverse health condition has occurred due to this kind of disasters, maybe earthquake, floods, the gas, poisonous gas release in the environment, etc., we have to ensure that whatever these kinds of disasters have led to problems of the health of these people involved in these disasters, we have to restore their health to as normal as possible so that the complications are minimum, so that their functional capabilities comes back and their livelihood they can earn. We have to protect the staff of our own people who are going to help, who are going to treat these patients. As we know, the principle of providing any first aid is first to save yourself, then only you can save others. So, to protect your staff, to protect public health, and whatever medical assets you are having, that also has to be protected, whereby you can give a large social service afterwards, unless you have got their own staff and your own medical assets right in place. And also you have to take care of the community around. The public health has to be taken care of whenever there are such disasters in the form of earthquake, floods, SARS, the poisonous gases like Bhopal gas tragedy, nuclear disasters like Chernobyl disasters, etc. Now, whenever you are going to prepare yourself for taking care of such disasters, what are the things you can think of, you can do in a hospital? First, since huge number of patients are likely to come to you, when mass casualties are going to come to you, hence you should be providing them adequate number of beds for them, and hence you can discharge some of the patients who are not acutely ill, so that some beds are vacant for the new casualties to be taken care of. You can cancel many of your elective procedures to be carried out. For example, elective surgeries that you are going to carry out, for example, family planning operation or chronic appendicitis, where appendix operation you can do. Some of the elective inguinal hernia surgeries or the removal of the big lipomas, etc., which are not going to be dangerous to the patient, and the surgeries can be postponed to a later date, whereby you can take care of the mass casualties in a disaster that has occurred to be taken care of now. You can add additional beds to your wards and rooms, special rooms, side rooms, etc. You can add, instead of 3 beds, you can have 5 beds there. And even in many of the public general hospitals, we have seen they are adding beds on the floors in the wards and even in the corridors. So wherever open spaces are available, you can add some more beds there. And there should be pre-established procedures to call back your staff to do some extra duties at the time of mass casualties coming to your hospital in the event of disaster. So you should have already some standard operating procedure made, laid down and communicated to all your staff that in case of need, in case of emergency, they will be called and they are supposed to come back to the hospital. Even though they have done first shift, let them come back in the third shift or half of the second shift starting, etc., if required. Maintaining and increasing the staff stocks of all the equipments, supplies, as well as drugs, injections, etc., all the pharmaceuticals and chemicals which are going to be required for taking care of a huge number of patients coming to your hospital in case of such disasters. This we have seen. Now let's understand how you are going to have well-established plan for taking care of mass casualty management. This is some of the checklist. First, you should analyze the situation. What exactly has happened? Where is the location of this disaster? How far it is from your hospital? What are the various kinds of healthcare facilities available in that location in and around? How many other hospitals are there in and around? How many ambulances you are having and how many private ambulances are possible to be called for transferring the patients safely from the disaster site to your hospital? So find out the strengths and weaknesses of your hospital in the form of supplies, drugs, staff, etc. Find out how many you can get it from outside help by calling some NGOs, voluntary agencies, some of the nearby hospitals, some other healthcare management systems, charitable hospitals, primary healthcare doctors, etc. So analyze the situation well based on the number of casualties that are likely to occur in that disaster that has occurred. What are the future consequences? What are the likely mortalities and morbidities? What are the likely supplies? You can get it immediately as early as possible from various sources in and around. How much government can help you? All those things you can analyze thoroughly about the situation that's occurred. You should have a proper triage system in your hospital and experts in doing this quickly to find out who are the patients who require immediate treatment, whose treatment by giving them cardiopulmonary resuscitation they are likely to survive. Who are the patients who are dead? Naturally, they will be sent to mortuary. You can't do much, anything about it. Who are the patients who will require high dependency kind of care within 6 hours? If they are not taken care of, they may die. So immediately you have to take care of them, maybe admit them in ICU, go for the surgeries of them as early as possible with the whatever adequate staff possible for you to get and call for. And minor surgeries, minor abrasions, other things, you can just do the dressing and injection TT and then dispose them off or send them to OPD and things like that. So triage system you have to manage and get the expert people to help you in that. Roles and responsibilities of each and every person you should know. Who is the overall head of this disaster management plan? Who is the security officer? Who is the PRO? Who are the doctors who are going to be involved in treating these cases? Who are the nurses, paramedical staff, safai walas, the ward boys, all kinds of people? Everybody should know what is their role and responsibility in case of a disaster. The standard operating procedure should mention who is supposed to do what at that time, so that there is no confusion. Otherwise, there is a lot of chaos and confusion when the disasters occur and when a mass number of casualties are transferred to a hospital. You should trigger the disaster plan by having the right kind of public address system, siren, etc. And the communication system should be thoroughly checked and mock drills conducted well in advance. You find out what are the operational areas for each type of people. Find out some of the support of operational areas in the form of ancillary services required apart from the main medical care system, and get that support at the earliest. Coordinate with other healthcare facilities in and around, whereby some private practitioners, charitable clinics, charitable hospitals, government hospitals, all you are supposed to coordinate to get as many people as possible to your hospital for helping these casualties who are going to come to you. And you have to have very good relations and already MOUs done with various institutions around, whereby they are ready to come and help you in such disasters. You should have very good community relations so that you can take community participations, volunteers from community to help you in taking care of these casualties. By suppose you are not having adequate number of ambulances available, then those who are comparatively less sick or less badly injured, they can come by other vehicles of the community around, say in the cars, trucks, tempos, etc. And some of the social workers can help you in counseling them, can help you in taking care of their mental health, can help you with foodstuff, water, and so many other things required at that time for the patients. And you should be thoroughly prepared by having mock drills regularly conducted for various kinds of disasters in and around your area. Now let's understand the acutely ill patients who require real critical care in your hospital apart from casualty, where they are treated. Initially, they can be transferred to intensive care units. These are specialty nursing units which are well designed, well equipped to take care of all the critically ill patients, where they need minute-to-minute observation and certain specified equipments including oxygen, suction, right kind of injections, IV fluids, plasma expanders, blood, so many things may be required. So they are well equipped for everything. At the same time, they need highly skilled and competent staff to take care of these patients. Intensivist doctors who have got a keen eye to judge the vital functions of the patients and the earliest sign of any deterioration of the health of these patients, earliest sign of deterioration of their mental functions as well. So, and also taking nursing care of these patients, you should have specially trained, highly skilled and competent nurses who should be taking care of comatose patients for every 2 hourly changing of their positions to prevent bed sores, to identify some of the early signs of any deterioration of the health, to identify slight spike of fever, identify any septicemia occurring, dehydration occurring in a patient, early signs, so that they can be immediately taken care of by providing the first aid and specialized treatment required, so that their conditions do not deteriorate and they survive. So you need specially skilled personnel for treating very critically ill patients or those who require specialized care as well as equipment. Now, what are the functions of intensive care unit? You need to closely observe these patients to find out any problem arising or likely to arise, and treatment of all critically ill patients who are admitted in the intensive care unit. You have to provide specialized treatment with specialized, highly skilled manpower and equipment. Ordinary treatment is not going to be sufficient for these patients to survive or to become all right. So you need specialized treatment for them. You need close monitoring for them. Minute to minute monitoring is required for some patients. That's why normally we say temperature, pulse, respiration every half an hourly for ward patients. Here it is every minute at times you have to observe. And it is being monitored at the center, each and every patient's ECG, SpO2, that is the oxygen saturation, pulse, blood pressure, etc., is monitored by the nurse, intensivist, sitting at his centralized place. Also, he monitors for each and every patient of the ICU and then take call what treatment to be given. Frequent monitoring of the blood gases, frequent monitoring of the blood sugar in cases of diabetic patients, frequent monitoring of blood, complete blood count, serum electrolytes, some of the metabolites based on the type of disease the person is suffering. If he is a cardiac patient, then monitoring of the lipids, lipoproteins, CPK, MB, etc. to know whether the condition is improving or worsening. So, you need highly skilled manpower and various kinds of equipment, say for the cases of not able to breathe properly, ventilators. When he needs forcible CPAP, etc., if he is not that bad, if he is comatose, whether he needs any support for improving his blood pressure because his blood pressure is going down drastically, then ionotropes, centralized cut down leading to the monitoring of the pressure, manometry, and accordingly fluid replacement, more common in cases of burns where a lot of plasma loss occurs. So all these cases have to be thoroughly examined, frequently monitored, and go on changing the treatment as and when required to take care of all their vital functions. You have to utilize the skilled staff who is there more effectively as well as efficiently, because it is very scarce. Surveillance of critically ill patients. You have to take care for all post-surgical operations because they are vulnerable to infections, they are vulnerable to complications, they are vulnerable to minor injuries while transporting. To provide care for all medical emergencies in cases of high fever, in cases of head injuries, in cases of poisoning, and so many other acute medical conditions. Guillain-Barré syndrome or say tetanus. Care for cardiac emergencies in cases of myocardial infarctions, ventricular fibrillation, atrial fibrillation, cardiac failure. To provide support to critically ill patients, and not only they need just the treatment part, but also they need lot of support in the form of nursing care, in the form of physiotherapy, occupational therapy. Let's classify the types of ICUs available. One is open, where attending physicians admit the case. Any physician can admit their own case in the ICU. The other is semi-closed, where only the director of ICU, when he approves, then only the patient can be admitted in ICU. And the closed unit, where the director and associates are responsible for all the admissions and discharge of ICU patients. So any attending physicians just cannot admit their patient when they feel that he needs ICU care. Only the ICU director or their associate can decide about the admission as well as the discharge of these patients.